Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Tom Brady's dad is hyped. He did a surprise interview on 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. And look, with the NFL schedule release yesterday, of course, everybody looking at what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers schedule is going to be for this year. And certainly we looked at week one, which is going to be the opening kickoff game against the Cowboys, which is going to be incredibly huge. But week four is the game of the year. It's Tom Brady's return to Foxborough, where the Bucs play the New England Patriots. And today, Tom Brady's dad, Tom Brady Sr., talked about how excited he was for this game, in that basically he's very hungry and thirsty in anticipation of this matchup. Take a listen.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season, and that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game. So it's a pretty fun time.
So here he is already on Boston Sports Radio basically saying, blank you, man. I don't care about you guys anymore. I'm salivating at this game, and we're going to be 4-0. But that's not it. He also went on to talk about how, hey, it's not just going to be a win. It's going to be a big win.
Coming back home to Boston, you know, it's our second home here. And the Patriots are our second favorite team. It's a game where we get to root for against nobody. We get to root for the Patriots, but our most favorite team, of course, is the Buccaneers. And so we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly.
So we got,
I love the last
there.
Line, but the other part is, like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah,
they're part of your past, man. It's over.
He kind of got lost a bit and said we have a second favorite team, but of course we know we don't have anybody we're rooting against, but we're rooting for our first favorite team. But the big things to take away is
salivating. I thought you said you were all right, Spider.
I thought you mutter and stuttering. Is that number one, salivating, expecting to come up and be 4-0, and we're going to win handily. We're not just going to. He is talking smack already. It is the middle of May, and this is, we're coming up to kick your ass in Boston. I mean, listen, I always go back to the big billions Damian Lewis philosophy, right? The Bobby Axelrod, hate is an endless resource. It will always be there for you. It will be there longer than love. And how much is Tom Brady and his family, how much do they hate the Patriots? And how much they hate the fact that he was pushed out, that they were told him basically after all those years, you're not welcome. I go and I win the Super Bowl with another team. No. I'm coming up this game. I want to hang 50 because I can't stand Belichick because he pushed me out. And you too, Kraft, because you decided to take Belichick's side on this. Oh, no, I'm coming up. This hate, this is like emperor hate. This is yes, pick up the lightsaber and strike me down hate. This is incredible hate from Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady's dad is out here saying this. And then Brady gets in on it after that interview saying, this is going to be like when your high school friends meet your college friends. And I'm like, whoa, is that a slight? Because what do you normally think of that? Your high school friends are the ones you outgrow when you go to college, right? Your college friend, hey, I was kind of thrown into school with you in high school, so we kind of had to be friends. But now, hey, this is my crew in college. I'm sorry, but I'm older now, and I got no time for you now. So even Brady is in here twisting the knife already, and it's the middle of bleeping May. Tom Brady is going to be unrecognizable in this game. His head may explode with the emotion and what he puts into this, because already you can tell they can't wait for this game. I mean, the day after the schedule comes out, you have Tom Brady Sr. doing an interview in Boston saying, we're coming to kick your ass and we're going to do it handily. And then Brady saying, yep, you're my high school friends. I've outgrown you. You're my high school friends. This hate, if you had any doubts that Brady hated the Patriots and wanted to win this game, if any doubts, this should dispel them right now because of what's gone on today. That hate is, you can feel that hate all the way from one end of the phone all the way into Boston on that.
Except he realized what he was saying and then tried to backtrack. It's like, no, you went there. Own it.
Well, I just don't think he understood the whole second favorite team. He tried to make a thing, like, I think he tried to soften a little bit.
No, he did.
Well, you know, they're my second favorite team, but the first favorite team is playing the second favorite team.
No, he tried to soften it, but, you know, once he realized, oh, wait, because he had a list and it said, oh, don't forget who you're talking to. You know, call them by their names and remember, you're on in Boston. Hey, don't insult everybody, right? They've been so kind to you for the last two decades, and maybe you have a couple of favorite restaurants you still want to go back to when you're in town and not be booed. Like your son will be when he plays there this time around. Look, he'll get the Queen's wave and a lot of celebration in pregame, and then that's it. All bets are off. And I like that there's some anxiousness to it. I like that there's a bit of anger behind it, right? Because it's going to be built up until week four, especially if they are 3-0 going into that game. Can Bill Belichick devise the defense to thwart Tom Brady? I mean, it's great theater. And the old man jumping on the radio to get it fired up now, here a couple of, you know, one day after schedule release. It's fantastic. It's everything you could hope for. Again, should have stayed to the script of it's going to be great to come back there and kick their ass. They didn't want Tommy anymore, and they don't like us. But no, it becomes the second home and our second favorite team. It's like, no, like, that's all understood. But that's history now. It ended badly. Let it be, and now you move forward. But it's good that we have this. And look, I like who Brady is the last couple of years, man. You know, all of the extra work on social media, to take it away from his dad for a second, that Brady's got all of these little memes going out there and the smartass. Look, he's got Aaron Rodgers following the TB12 method now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
well, hey,
it's growing. He might be wearing the recovery pajamas right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, every year, you know, you have somebody saying, hey, I can keep playing longer if I wear those pajamas. It's going to be good. I like
it. By the way, you brought up the whole high school versus college friends thing, you know, and extrapolated on that. Remember that most folks live next to mom. Kind of here. According to an NPR report going back to 2015, the average person in the United States lives just 18 miles away from his or her mother. That was from a New York Times research article. So, I mean, that's kind of a big deal. So, you know, get it. Those people are always part of your lives. And now, not as many people go to college as you. you're trying to make it sound.
Yeah, but Brady went to college and he went away, and that's what he's doing. Look, as someone who went to college and went away and moved away from their family, I know exactly what Brady is doing when he says that.
All right? And then Walter
stalked
you.
He did the same thing. Yeah, then my dad decided, I'm moving out where you are. Okay, Dad, great. How you doing? Okay, that's great. Yeah. Well, it kind of comes full circle. But here's the thing. Is I got bad news for Brady and Brady Sr. Because right now, I'll make my first pick of a game in the 2021 season.
Look at you.
I will take New England in this game over Tampa Bay. All right. First of all, coming back, it's going to be very emotional. We know this. And Tampa Bay is a terrific team. Tampa Bay stayed the same. They got the band back together. Yes, you're the Super Bowl champions, but tell me any team that has stayed the same and done better the following year. Not many do that. And it's not like they locked up guys who were young. No, you're trying to get one more year out of Antonio Brown, right? You're trying to get one more year out of your running backs, one more year out of Rob Gronkowski, one more year out of some of these guys. So that's not suddenly saying, hey, we're replenishing the pool and we're going to keep going and we're going to keep it rolling. The Patriots got better. The Patriots got better at everywhere. And it's either going to be Cam Newton or Mac Jones, most likely Mac Jones. And just over the course of my career of watching Bill Belichick shut down every single quarterback he faces when they play for the first time, whether it's rookies or a guy in their second year, he's never played against Tom Brady. I will take that Belichick will have the game plan out to stop Brady in this game. And here's the danger part for Brady is that he's not going to have the same type of season he had last year. It's going to be a little bit worse than it was a year ago because he's a little bit older. He doesn't have the zip on the ball that he used to. He can't throw as deep as he used to. That was something that was on display in the playoffs. Belichick will have a scheme that's going to be able to stop that. And that could turn into the blueprint by going, oh, this is how you stop Tom Brady. And this is a very dangerous game because the one guy you don't want to go against is Belichick, because if he can expose you, look what happens. Sam Darnold's never been the same since the Ghost game. Never. Yeah, other quarterbacks true. Have never been the same.
Well, he's done that to a lot of young quarterbacks through his career.
Yeah, but how many times did he keep doing it to Peyton Manning? Peyton Manning was 67 years old. Still, Belichick was stopping him late in playoff games. I will trust that Belichick will be able to stop Brady. The Patriots win that game, and the danger is here's the blueprint to go beat Tom Brady, and we just showed you all how to do it. Now, whether it's being able to get pressure on him without having to blitz like they did against Patrick Mahomes or something else, how they stopped Jared Goff in the Super Bowl by swarming his secondary receivers, he couldn't look, or his receivers close to the line of scrimmage, he couldn't look deep. Whatever it is, he's going to figure it out. I will take the Patriots in this game over Tom Brady in his return to Foxborough.
Yeah, see, here's the problem. Tom Brady's smarter than the average bear.
And he
that wasn't a shot at QB1 Andy Dalton at all.
He is.
Look,
he is.
The line is out. You ready for what the opening line is via FanDuel?
Okay, go ahead.
The Buccaneers are a 3.5-point favorite.
Mm-hmm. I'll take the Patriots on the field.
Look at you.
On the field,
I
week
like that.
Four.
And there is the first of 272 games, America. Yeah, let's go.
You know, the thing is, as you say, Brady is smarter than the average bear. But how many times have I told you, when you make him uncomfortable, he turns into a different quarterback. He throws the ball early and he throws the ball low. That's what happens. He does it no matter what, whether it's last year, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, since he had his knee injury. When you put people around him, he gets really uncomfortable and it's visible. Look, no quarterbacks like the pressure. I get that. But Brady's a guy that you see it turn into something, and you see it, and he throws the ball early and he throws it low.
No, and that's
I see
great
it all
but,
the time.
But behind that offensive line, you think they're going to muddy it up. I love it. I can't wait to talk about it, you know, 5 months from now when we're previewing the game. But I like that you're jumping into it right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Blazers and the Suns, 53-52 at halftime. Laker fans watching this game going, do we want the Blazers to win? Do we really want to finish sixth and play the Clippers? Don't we want to finish seventh and maybe play the Suns or the Jazz? Do we really want to play the Clippers? I don't know. Joining us now on the hotline to break it all down, Fox Sports 1, NBA insider extraordinaire. You can follow him on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher. Rick, what's happening, man?
What is happening, yo?
Yo, well, listen, we'll get to the obligatory Knicks are great question coming up in a couple of minutes. But, look, with the games tonight, we watched the East go down the way it did, and everybody still is one and holding serve to try to avoid being the sixth seed to play the Bucks in the first round. But, here are the Lakers sitting right now at number 7. And, you know, yes, Laker fans would like to, and the Lakers would like not to have to worry about losing twice and going home. But I don't know that, Rick, if finishing outside of the top six is the worst thing for them, right? You got to lose twice to not go on in the playoffs. And I would rather play anybody but the Clippers in the first round of the playoffs if I was the Lakers.
I am with you. I don't know that there's anybody among the play-in teams that the Lakers would have to worry about. Obviously, if you get into a last possession situation with the Warriors, if there is a threat, it's the Warriors, because they're built very much like the Lakers. Everybody thinks about them as an offensive juggernaut because of the histrionics of Steph, but the reality is they're ranked, as last I checked, something like 22nd. They're down there around where the Lakers are offensively, and yet they, last I checked, were top 5 defensively. So they're a little misleading in the way that they've won and what has been their strength. That said, the Lakers are the best team, and they just have a little more, again, when healthy, a little more versatility than the Warriors have. So I'm with you, because I think that the Clippers probably pose the biggest threat to knocking the Lakers off, and you certainly don't want to see them at this point when you haven't developed any chemistry and you're still getting your guys back. And on the other hand, the Phoenix Suns are clearly the least proven team, and the way they've played of late, I feel they are very vulnerable. And the Jazz the same way. The big question is going to be, particularly when it comes to the Jazz, is they've made their hay in the disparity in the number of threes they make and the number of threes that they give up. Now, are they going to be able to maintain that in the postseason when you generally play against the best defenses and everything is ratcheted up and it's a little bit harder to let it fly as casually and as often as the Jazz do when you're playing under the pressure of the playoffs? That's the element we don't know. But I would dare say, in spite of whatever the seeding may say, if I'm the Lakers, I would much rather – I'd rather face almost anybody ahead of the Clippers, certainly in the first round.
All right, let me ask the follow-up to that then, Rick. As we get towards the final throws of this regular season, right, everything finishes Sunday, do you have any idea how healthy LeBron James is right now? Because I don't.
Yeah, no, I don't, and it's really curious about considering the value of these games. And, I mean, part of it is because we keep getting these reports. It hasn't been like LeBron has said, I think I'm coming back at this time, mm-hmm. and then had to revise his return. We've had what appear to be speculative reports at this point in terms of when he's going to be back, and that's where we have been disappointed. So, look, I know how high ankle sprains are, and I well know not to compare myself athletically in any way to LeBron, but once you get in your late 30s, those injuries linger. And so I'm going to take him at his own word. I'm a little surprised that he would say he would never be at 100%, but I would not be surprised that whenever we see LeBron, that we are not going to see a LeBron at 100% this season. Reminds me a little bit of the year that the Warriors ended up going 73-9 and losing in the finals. Steph had a sprained knee, and at some point he came back and played, but he was never quite Steph, and that ended up being a big difference maker for the Warriors in the end.
Rick Bucher, who is, look, he's on with us whether he's at 95%, 100%,
oh,
sometimes
yeah.
70%,
no,
always.
Right.
He's a gamer. He's right. Rick Bucher, gamer. That should be your entire Twitter profile. Rick Bucher, gamer.
The only sad thing is how many times I come on with you guys and I'm at 43%. You'd think I'm like a humidor or something. I got to get that number up. I'm working on it.
All right, so listen, you mentioned Steph Curry, and, you know, this is a conversation we had on the show the other night. You know, Steph has the big night. Russell Westbrook breaks the record for triple-doubles over the course of his career. And we talked about how, listen, when you have a great image, the world is open to you in the NBA. Everybody wants Steph to be the MVP this year. Everybody likes him. Nobody goes crazy about Russell Westbrook's stats and what he's accomplishing because people just don't like him. I mean, is it that simple that just people like Steph Curry and people just don't like Russell Westbrook because they feel he's polarizing?
I think it's a little deeper than that. I mean, you look at the numbers that Steph puts up, and they have they're more related to winning. They may not be in terms of this season, which is why I've kind of pushed back on the Steph being an MVP or the suggestion that he's playing his best basketball. I don't think that's the case. I think that he has been as electric and as amazing making difficult shots, whether inside or outside. I think that's what he has been special at. But a big part of it is with Russ is, and I've often said this, that stars get their numbers. Superstars get everybody numbers. And the way Russ plays, I don't think he's a selfish player by any means, but he has found it difficult to be able to coalesce getting his numbers and making the game easier for everybody else. I'm never going to question the energy with which he plays, but there's playing hard and there's playing smart. And Russ, by virtue, whether you want to look at his field goal percentage or you want to look at his assist-to-turnover ratio, he plays hard all the time, maybe as hard as anybody in the league, but he clearly doesn't always play smart. And whereas you see Steph, there's a certain degree of humility in spite of all that he's accomplished, and he's certainly accomplished more than Russ has in overall achievements. And yet Russ, there's always it's not that people don't like him. You get this sense that Russ feels like he's being underappreciated or undervalued, or he's not getting his just due. And that generally doesn't play with people, especially if you compare it to somebody who's done more and is more humble. The guy who's done less and has a greater arrogance, that's never going to put you in good stead, and people are going to begrudgingly give you your due.
Yeah, I like angry Russ, but you know, another group of guys that we're trying to figure out exactly where they fall in line here, Rick. You know, trusting LeBron's health is one thing. What part of the six-man tag team in Brooklyn is actually going to play in the playoffs?
Yeah, that's a great.
Who's tagging in on a given night?
It's a great question. But I've said this from the very beginning. I mean, I know everybody is, you know, wildly impressed with not just their offensive power, but the fact that they've been playing shorthanded all this time and yet have one of the best records in the East. And look, there are just occasions where the regular season can be fool's gold, especially when it is offensive oriented. The reason we have the question about the Jazz in terms of whether, you know, maybe they can live up to their record is because defensively they've demonstrated that they can be pretty good. And they also have a familiarity among themselves. It's the same with the Lakers and what they have or haven't done at the offensive end. We've seen them be good enough at the offensive end to win a championship, so you can give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't understand why I have all these people. I've been pointing it out from the beginning of the year. Like, your familiarity and your chemistry, yeah, it's important on offense, but when you have firepower and one-on-one play like they have, you can get away with it offensively without having that chemistry. Defensively, you can't possibly get away with it. It's the first time I heard it used, Pat Riley talked about defensively being on a string. And that's where I not only does everybody have to be in the right place at the right time, but I have to have the utmost confidence that the other four guys around me are going to do what they're supposed to do when I move. So that when I move, they're going to move and we're in sync. Because if I just have that one little hesitation of, can I go? Because I'm not 1,000% sure that the guy who's supposed to cover me, can I switch? Because I know the other guy is going to pick up. Or can I go out and contest because the third guy is going to come over and help on the drive? Like, that's the stuff that we didn't know if they could do that if they had a whole season together. But not having a whole season together and not being sure whether they can do it or not is why I just, like, I think they're a second round and out team. I think they're talented enough to get out of the first round. I think all bets are off on what the Brooklyn Nets do after that.
Wow, Rick Bucher with us here on Fox Sports Radio. All right,
yeah.
Listen, now this dovetails into something Mike and I talked about beginning of the show. Look, everybody seems to be sleeping.
Oh, by the way, update. I'm at 15-7% now.
Oh, 57. All right, very good. Yeah, look at that. All right.
It's like a video game. He found some power bar or something. Now he's cruising towards the next level.
Exactly.
Hey, we talked about how the Clippers are kind of flying under the radar now, and everybody seems to be sleeping on them, just not part of the conversation when maybe this year they figured it out. I look at the Bucks right now, Rick, and I go, maybe they're the same team. They're flying under the radar because of the Nets and their drama, and look, the Knicks and how great they are, and obviously I get it. But, man, I'll tell you what, I don't know that the Bucks haven't figured things out. Same type of deal. They got rid of the players that didn't fit in. They had big changes to their support staff, on the court. And now look at the Bucks. No one's talking about them, but they're going to enter the playoffs as hot as anybody.
I agree 1,000%. They started out slow, but they brought in some new pieces. They changed some things up in the way they do things. And now they're hitting their stride at the perfect time. And I believe that Giannis Antetokounmpo, for the first time, is a valid MVP. I haven't filled out my ballot yet, but do not be surprised if Giannis Antetokounmpo ends up in the first slot for the first time on my MVP ballot. He is. It's not the numbers. It's where he's operating from, the shots that he's taking, when he's taking them. KD hits a big three. He comes down to the other end. he hits right back. He gets inside and has a mismatch. He's going to work it until he gets to the spot he wants to get to, and he's either going to score or he's going to kick it. He is a real threat now from mid-range and below the free throw line, wherever he might be, not just a step away from the basket. So I agree with you. I was pressed to say who my finals matchup is, and while I think it's wide open, it could be Lakers, Philadelphia. It could be any number of combinations. If I'm pushed to give you one, I'm saying Clippers Bucks right now for all the reasons that you guys just brought up.
That's where I'm at too. I said the Clippers are the favorites. It just you watch them play and it's just okay. Maybe being out of the limelight is actually helping them. You know, clearly it helps a little bit to be that kind of situation.
It certainly not having to carry the mantle of being the team to beat, particularly when you've never done it. You don't know how to handle that pressure and that expectation. But I think they just became a smarter, more balanced team with, you know, Montrezl Harrell. I love his energy, but he's a roller coaster ride. Hopefully they get Serge Ibaka back, and he's just a headier, more even-tempered player. Luke Kennard, I think, is a balancing act. And then I think the humility that Kawhi and Paul George had to accept as a result of the disappointment of last year. They're all playing with the knowledge that people looked at them and said, you know what, you guys wilted under the pressure of the expectations. And so I've seen a team that's played with the mindset all year of not, we know how good we are and we can lay back, but continuing to try to work on their execution and their discipline, and particularly Kawhi getting back to being the defensive player he can be at the defensive end. I feel like he kind of felt like, okay, I'm the big shot. I'm what the offense plays through, and I don't need to expend energy at the defensive end. And I just don't think they're as good when they play that way. When they move the ball and Paul George is actually the initiator offensively, and you go to Kawhi in certain situations, I think that's when they're at their best. And then Kawhi being the defensive monster that he's capable of, when you add Rondo and you add Beverly, I like this mix. They still have to go out and prove it. The Lakers still are, they have the knowledge and the IQ, but I just feels like one of those years where maybe we might have a couple teams jump up and surprise us and make that leap from on the outside looking in to actually stepping up to the top of the mountain.
On Twitter, at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher, Fox Sports 1 analyst. The book is Rebound, Brian Grant, that he co-wrote with him. It is phenomenal. It's doing well. You can get it on Amazon. Wherever you like to buy books, Rebound, Rick Bucher with Brian Grant. It is fantastic. Rick, as always, buddy, appreciate your time, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Knicks, yo.
Knicks, yo. Get ready.
Plenty of time now that they're in the playoffs. Good God, said that.
We got weeks of Knicks conversations. Weeks and weeks and weeks.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm telling everybody, I'm telling you now, I've been telling you for a while, it's okay if the Lakers have to play in the play-in round.
Relax.
Their dream of being a top six seed is still alive after the Suns' escape with a 118-117 win over the Blazers tonight. So for the Lakers to avoid the play-in tournament, they have to win their last two games and hope that Portland or Dallas loses out. Now, Portland's got a tough game coming up. They finish against Denver. Dallas has a couple of cupcakes. They got Minnesota. They got Toronto. I'm pretty sure Dallas is going to win one of those two games. So basically for the Lakers, it's going to be winning their last two and hoping that the Blazers lose. But in the end, I wouldn't want them to finish six. I wouldn't want the Clippers in the first round. It could be a quick exit for the Lakers. I would rather have them be seventh, play the play-in round, get a couple of games in, and then Phoenix or the Jazz, quite honestly, those are your better lineups and matchups for the Lakers. I mean, clearly, that's where they would go. That's the better way for them to advance in the playoffs and to say, hey, go try to win best seven against the Clippers. Good luck, because that's a bad matchup.
So Denver's going to sit everybody down on Sunday, right?
Nobody plays. Everybody sits.
Legitimately, here's our bench. Go at it. And force the Lakers down there. I don't know. It's kind of a fun curiosity. Watching the end of this game, though. The foul call that Devin Booker has arrived, evidently, in terms of getting star calls.
Yes,
my
he has.
God! What a phantom foul. He goes and drains two free throws to give them the lead and then the win. It just, I've watched it like 15 times. I'm still wondering where there was any contact, let alone something that would have you blow the whistle in the final 3 seconds of a game. But, yeah, for Laker fans, what's just been interesting to watch and watching this Lakers squad, right? LeBron missed a couple games, right, from being on the sideline, and now he's back, and he gave the little speech before the banner unfurling and everything, but missed that Knicks game. And the assumption, and when we talked to Rick Bucher earlier, it was, well, all reports were he was going to play then against Houston. Well, as soon as they beat the Knicks, it became you got to be able to beat Houston without him being forced back, right? Right? And then they win by two. So not exactly the walkover, but hey, succeed and proceed. Now back-to-back games remaining against Indiana and then the Zion-less Pelicans on Sunday night. You know, another Brandon Ingram revenge game, I guess, and Lonzo Ball if we want to have that fun. But beyond that, it's we're just playing out the string, and I think everybody's going to be wringing their hands because they expected a juggernaut, and now they've got a very banged-up squad, a lot of guys missing times or nursing injuries, and you have no idea what you're going to get. It's great. Get your popcorn ready. You know, you just responded to Wojcie, right? Mm. Yeah. He said anybody that tells you what's coming in the playoffs and tells you with authority, they're liars, and you said next show.
I said Knicks are going to go to the finals. But
you're drunk.
The path of least resistance for the Lakers is through the play-in round. It's where it is. You don't want the Clippers in the first round, trust me. Now, this story revolving around Jets quarterback Zach Wilson, taken number two overall in the draft, and has had to share some of the spotlight with his mom since the NFL draft happened. His mom, very attractive, became a big hit on social media. He did a couple interviews, you know, not happy sharing the spotlight with his mom, even said, hey, I'd kind of rather keep her out of the spotlight. Now Zach Wilson's mom is front and center thanks to this Instagram post that's now gaining a lot of momentum around the internet. She put this post on talking about her family's recent trip to Disney World.
We only made it about 4 hours today at Disney World because my family kind of hates amusement parks. First of all, it was harder than hell out there. And Disney, you're kind of not going to lie.
So she said she used a word. She compared how hot it was outside to a lady of the evening, let's say, and then said that
attending services.
Yes. And then said that Disney were mask jerks, except didn't say jerks at the amusement park. You know, now in and of itself, this is an Instagram post. But when you are the mom of a quarterback who was just selected in the NFL draft in a huge media market city like New York, this is going to gain a lot of attention. And I don't care how long I wind up doing this show, how many years, I will always say the same thing. When parents of an athlete get involved in a story, it's usually not a good thing. All right, you tell me how many stories involve parents where it turns out to be good in the end. It never does. And it doesn't matter what the player is. Could be a football player, NBA player, could be a baseball player. When parents get involved, it never looks good. And it's not always something like this, but it's something where it's clearly going to be embarrassing for the player. Now, I'm glad it's May and it's not like Labor Day weekend and it's suddenly, hey, Zach, how do you feel about your mom and what's going on? I mean, Zach Wilson's unfollowed his mom on Instagram. I mean, seriously, yeah. That's where you're at now. He's unfollowed his mom on Instagram. That's crazy. And this is what he's had to do. This is where you have to tell your parents, listen, I know sometimes, you know, you think you're doing something that's helping me. It's not. I know you kind of like this newfound fame going on, but that doesn't help me. And I'm your child, and I'm the one that's the quarterback of the Jets right now. So this is where you would hope that parents would say, I get it, and I'm backing off of social media and all these different things. So I'm telling you, when parents get involved, it's usually not a good thing.
You think that someone would have informed them during the process. You know, you're coming to New Jersey. All right, New York. And there's going to be a lot of attention on you. Please don't be a problem. I mean, they're already making fun of me because I look like I'm 12 and I'm right in Dad's closet. Don't help them.